For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday morning, November the 26th, 2000. Thanksgiving weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is the final service of the meetings. Ronnie Bejou of Bridgeboro, Louisiana, is the speaker of the morning.
Praise the Lord. It's always good to be here in Lake Hamilton. This is our final service. I always like to thank Brother Glenn and First Lady of Lake Hamilton, Sister Irma Miller. Been mom and dad for me for many years. Even when I'm not nice, they still love me. And every once in a while, Dad will just slip on in, not let me know he's coming, and comes and hides out in my place. We appreciate that. You can come and hide in our place too if you'd like. But how many of you know you can't hide anything from God? Come on, I know what I'm talking about. You cannot hide anything from God. I want to speak to you this morning on a subject that is dear to my heart and will probably be dear to yours. And for a lack of a better title, just make it real short, call In Lodabar. Is there a God in Lodabar? Lodabar speaks of a place and a time in a Christian's life where there's very little communication and no word. Everybody said no word. What an awful time it seems to the human and carnal mind to be in a place where you don't hear God, you don't hear His word, and you have no one to communicate but with yourself. Now that may sound real terrible. My friend, that is the best place. This thing is off, isn't it?
No, you're fine.
It's off? I'm away from the mic. This is the best place that you can find yourself in developing a relationship with God. We all need solitary confinement. We all need a time in our lives where we shut everything off, turn every knob off, turn our carnal minds off, and begin to concentrate on how good God is to us. In 2 Samuel chapter 9, I'm going to be reading in just a moment about a situation that happened to David while he was king of Israel. And Jonathan, his covenant brother, had been killed and had died, but had left a son called Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was dropped when he was a young lad and had become lame. A person that is lame is confined and had become totally dependent upon other people to help him get up, walk, and do all the things that he needs to do in everyday living. But being lame is not so bad. Even though you're dysfunctional, your mind is still alert. And your heart is still receptive to a God who will make himself and show himself strong in a place of Lodabar where there's no communication, there's no word, there's nobody else but you and the king himself, and you're sitting in his presence. Amen. And he will feed you. He will comfort you. He will be kind to you. He will touch you and he will stroke you. I sense by the Holy Ghost this morning that there are some of you that have been in a place called Lodabar, and some of you who still need to find that place where you will be in solitary confinement for a time that God the Father can make himself real to you, and you will realize that Jesus is the Christ and the Messiah. He's Yeshua HaMashiach. He is the Son of the living God. He is he who has come and will come again. And a place and a time where things seem to be dry and desolate, you can find water. Because the song that we sang this morning, he says, he's still I am. Moses said, Father, whom shall I say sent me? He says, I am that I am. You know, being persistent has its place. Moses was so persistent, wanting to know who this I am was, that God the Father, Jehovah the Lord, revealed to him, he said, Moses, I am the Lord. Wouldn't you like to know that when someone were sending you somewhere, you would like to know who is sending you? If you're in 2 Samuel chapter 9, say amen.
Amen.
Verse 1 says, and David said, notice that he will repeat this more than one time, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul? May I present to you this morning that Saul speaks of the old order. We don't do it that way anymore. Are you with me? And for some of us who are still eating at Saul's table, we are eating nothing but leftovers. I don't know about you, honey, but I like my food hot, and I like my food warm, and I like my food fresh, and I like to get me a fresh word from the Holy Ghost. I don't know about you, but I don't like leftovers.
Amen.
Robert never had leftovers at my house.
That's right.
You know why?
Because
he calls ahead of time and orders what he wants. Come on, help me, preacher. He orders what? Why can he order what he wants? Because he is the son of a king of righteousness. And there is a kingdom in us. And there is a king that wants to rule and to reign. And God has a word for us in due season. But there are times we have to get alone. For some of us, that would be very dysfunctional. Daily routine, we have TV on, radio on, everything else on but God. Hello. I'm trying to help you real good this morning. I'm going to hit you and run. Now notice that the king said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul? And Mephibosheth was Saul's grandson. That I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake. You know, Johnny was in school. And the teacher said, Johnny, would you stand up and tell us or give us an example of kindness or loving kindness? Johnny said, when my mama makes me a peanut butter sandwich, she's very kind. But when mama puts a little jelly on the peanut butter, he said, that's loving kindness. Sometimes we can have the peanut butter sandwich, and sometimes we can have the whole thing. In God's kingdom, it's not what you take out of it, it's what you put in it. Now here's a boy who is lame, and his name means out of my mouth proceeds reproach. Because he was handicapped, he began to develop a mindset that all he could ever get from the Father's tables were crumbs. And there are people in God's kingdom today that will settle for less when they can receive God's best. I'm shouting. I'm preaching a whole lot better than you want to shout, Mildred. Y'all awfully quiet for Sunday morning. Maybe we ought to cast that religious spirit out of you. Sunday morning religious service. Bind it. In the name of Jesus. Now, got that out the way. Mephibosheth is in another part of the country. But the king makes a request because a king understands that his throne is not just for him, it belongs also to the heirs.
Amen.
And the Bible declares that we, the church, have become joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have become the children of promise. We're no longer the children of darkness. We are the children of light.
Amen.
Therefore, we can appropriate that which belongs to the Father because we're part of His kingdom.
Amen.
Can I get another amen?
Amen?
I like that a whole lot better. Now, Lo Debar simply is defined, Lo meaning no word. I have had a few experiences in my life where I needed a word from God. And I would go to where the prophets were. Pretty good time to get a word. And they would not speak to me. Now I would go to the apostles. They wouldn't even shake my hand. Now, well, the only logical thing to do now is go to the pastor. I would go to the pastor, but he was too busy. I went to my wife, but she had no word. My dog doesn't talk, so he had no word. So I began to talk to my own donkey. And I began to say, son, you are the son of a living God. And if God be for you, who can be against you? I am not dead, I'm alive. I am not the tail, I'm the head. I'm not beneath, I'm above. And the blessings of God belong to me. And therefore, His promises become real because I have sought the Lord in a time where He could be found. And I said, Lord, I need a word. And this is when He gave me this word. He says, you are in Lo Debar. Don't move. You are in the place where I have desired to come and meet with you and reveal myself to you. I'm not only the God of the good times. I'm the God when times are not so good. I'm not only the God of the mountains, but I'm the God of the valleys. Because there is a connection between the mountains and the valleys. And right between the valley, there is a river that is flowing. And if we will get in the flow of the Holy Ghost, we will hear God. And the Word will become life and it will become flesh. Because every word of God is inspired. We may not always like it, but it is still inspirational. I may not always understand it, but it is still nurturing.
Amen.
And for the most part, if we'd be honest, and you are honest people, I believe, if you're not, I'll have Mildred cast that lying spirit out of you. If we're honest, we're not always willing to sit in one place long enough to hear God. Because you see, Mephibosheth's handicap situation had nothing to do with his ability from hearing God. He was the Grand Marquis of the King of Israel. But he was living beneath his privileges. Now you can stay mad all you want to because some nanny dropped you. Some pastor mistreated you. Some pastor's wife wasn't kind to you. You can be that way all you want to. But let me tell you something. You're missing out on the blessings of God. God is not missing out on you. He is waiting for you to get in position where He can bless you. How many of you have ever heard of a guy named Jabez? My wife has received the divine revelation from a little name in the Bible called Jabez that has revolutionized our lives. Jabez's prayer is absolutely awesome. It's kingdom. Jabez realized that he was a son. And God said he wasn't more honorable than his brethren.
And here's, now this is deep. Get a revelation. He says, Father, bless me indeed. Keep thy hand upon me. Extend the borders of my life or my ministry or my business. Make it personal. Keep me from evil. And let me not cause pain. And we have effectively prayed that prayer for 30 days. The first three times I prayed, I said, that is about as religious as I've ever heard. And the more I prayed it, the more God began to reveal to me, that is the kingdom message. Poverty has no form of godliness. It has a form of depravity. And it builds a mindset that keeps people sick and defeated and distraught. But when we begin to take on the mindset of the King, we begin to stand uprightly and walk as men and women of integrity. We are not somebody's leftover or misfortune or mistake left to die by the Jericho Road. We are King's children. Now that God has your attention, let's go in and find out what the King offered Mephibosheth, who was living a dysfunctional life and living beneath his privileges. Now, you've got to realize that this boy, if there was no one there to help him, he drug himself wherever he went. And may I ask you this morning, if you are in a place where you are totally dependent upon somebody else, what an awful place to be when you have not become totally dependent upon Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. He will carry you. He will love you. This place is also defined as a place of brokenness, where we come and we become broken before God. It's a solid place. It's a place where you get rid of regrets. Amen. It's a place where no one can hear you. Am I helping somebody today?
Yeah.
Or ease your pain.
Yes.
My heart is heavy. I sense in my spirit that there are so many of you here today who have hidden your pain and not have brought it to the Master's hand. For only He can become your Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. My mind goes back to the time when the little Abrahamic daughter, having an issue of blood for many years, she fought through the crowd, and there was pressed upon her. I believe they beat her black and blue, but she was determined in her heart that she would touch the hem of His garment. And when she did, she understood Jewish custom and Jewish right, that if she touched the hem, she would touch that part of the Lord that said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Amen. Those tassels weren't there because they were decorative. And for us to understand the fullness of the Godhead bodily, we will have to understand the Jewishness of God. I don't speak Hebrew, brethren. I prophesy in Hebrew, and I speak in a Hebrew tongue. And I have no idea unless God gives me an interpretation. And this happens frequently. And I can tell you there is a difference in the anointing. You don't have to go to Jerusalem and go to Bible college and get a Jewish degree in Hebraic and all that. But I'm telling you, there is a connection the church is missing. We need to understand our roots. We've been grafted in.
Amen. Yes, amen.
We were a people without God and without hope. But this boy had all the goodies. But yet, he didn't understand what he had. And I wonder this morning, being the church of the living God, We have all the goodies. Do we really understand what God has for us? Sobering, isn't it? I was going to say, I hate to leave you in the sober thought, but I don't. It's good for you. First of all, let's consider in this place of lo the bore the king's kindness. David said in verse 1, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake. What a parallel. What a relationship. We are not just some parts. We are part of God's family. That statement tells me, if I was to leave and to go to be with the Lord, I should have enough confidence that my brethren would take my family and would bless them and would feed them and would clothe them and would care for them. And I could go to be in the presence of my God. But brethren, I have something else to say. It is not working that way. Everybody wants to establish a kingdom for themselves. But in solitary confinement, those kingdoms fall. Because you will find, I know I'm speaking some prophetic things to you this morning, you will find in the presence of a holy God that you are helpless. And the impressions of His Spirit, when they begin to move in you, you feel naked and undone. And this is not because the king who's ruling in your heart wants to show you how big and bad he is, but he wants to show you his kindness.
Amen. Thanks.
And what he did for one, he will do for another. And what he has done for another, he will do for you.
Amen.
And only he can fulfill the loneliness that every one of us suffer and fill it to the brim. I wonder this morning how many of us can find ourselves in the place of Lo Debar just like Mephibosheth, hiding in caves and eating whatever was brought to him, where he could have been feasting at the Father's table. Verse 2 said, there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. Ziba is a type and shadow of the Holy Ghost. He's a servant. The Holy Ghost has been given unto us to help us, to lead us, to instruct us, to guide us, and to show us the will of the Father. Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will send you a helper.
Amen.
But he said, he will not speak of me, but he will speak of that which he, the Holy Ghost, the third person, hears the Father say. And on your behalf, I will reveal to you the Father's will. I will show you things to come. The word show comes from the word see. I will give you eyes to see. As a good shepherd that stood on the hills leading sheep, every good shepherd had to have good sight, so he could look out into the valleys to make sure that the wolves were not coming to protect his flock. Our God is the all-seeing God. He sees everything. He knows everything. And like the little fellow said, he is everywhere. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he.
When the king begins to reveal to you his kindness, he begins to reveal in you the type of servant that he desires. We have read books and sang songs and listened to sermon after sermon. But when we have gotten rid of all our ideas and opinions and we've laid it all out, we'll find that his idea of service is a little bit different than ours. He declared this in the ears of Isaiah, and he says, "My ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts." And only in a time of solitude can you hear him. And he will hear you. You have opened the door of communication. And I believe there are times when we have no communication and no word. It's because we have shut the door. And we have decided, I can handle this myself. I've been there, I've done that, I know that. This is a place where God gets rid of all your familiarity. Tongue twister. We get so familiar with the past. We get so familiar with the message, Robert. So familiar with the songs. We have shut our doors. And God, just like in the day of Jacob, walked right by him and he said, "What was that? Was that God?" I heard a wise guy tell me one day, he said, "Man, I wish if Jesus was here today, I would never deny him." I said, "You do every day. I do every day. When I refuse to go in my place of solitude and quietness and to hear me." Brethren, it is worth more than 1,000 sermons. It is worth more than 500 words. Words cannot describe that when we are in a time of quietness and stillness with our God, that we can hear him. And when we do, we can take it to the bank. But if you're living beneath your privileges, you don't feel that you are worthy enough to go spend that time and that God would talk to you. And he says to you, "My child, you are living beneath your privileges." And when the king made a request, brethren, everything moves. And when he said, "Is there anyone else?" David already had information that Jonathan had a son. And because they were covenant brethren, whatsoever David had, Mephibosheth had. And if we are ever going to go back to the church of Acts that Robert was talking about and began to be in one accord, and that's not talking about driving a Honda, and eating bread and breaking bread daily, I fear for some of us that we do not understand real communion. We eat some kind of wafers, a piece of bread, and dip a little bit of juice, and we say amen. I say, "Father, forgive me. I recognize what you did at the cross. You're a wonderful God. Hallelujah. Glory to God." At the door. Let's go to Perkins and eat. We have not taken time to sit there and understand the significance of the blood and the life that was poured, given over for ours. Amen. He made a trade. He gave us his life for his. We don't understand, I believe, sometimes the agony that he suffered at this cross. My son-in-law dropped a log on my little finger the other day, and every member of my brain wanted to scream, "Pain!" I had a tip of my finger cut off, and it was in that moment I fell on my knees and I cried out to God. And I said, "Father, thank you. It wasn't my whole hand. Amen. I only gave part of myself." And I'm thinking, God, what type of manifestations of your glory are we going to see when the church collectively comes together and we pour out all of ourselves at the altar and all of ourselves to God, how God will begin to move in our midst. We'll see the miracles. We'll see the manifestations when we give our all. Sometimes we're living like Mephibosheth because we don't understand we can have it all. So we begin to work. Is it okay if I just paraphrase? We begin to work. I'm just following the Holy Ghost. And try to establish some type of rapport where we can get right with God. 10 steps of how to get your act together. It doesn't work. It doesn't. What works is when you're honest with God and yourself. And when His presence begins to move in your midst, you give it all. You get into the place where all you want to know is and everything goes. I'm a word sort of fella. I tell people this all the time. But 10 years ago, I started hearing the wind of God. I stand in churches and I'm getting ready to preach and all I hear is I'm going. I feel like God turns His big fan on in the back of me sometimes. 3 times in the last month, somebody's seen me in a ball of fire. Standing in the presence of God, can't even utter a word. I mean, I like to preach. I know. I also know I can be quiet. My wife helped me with that, Robert. I'm glad you didn't talk about Diane while she wasn't here. My wife helped me with that. And we have this idea that when we get in the presence of God at times, all we need to do is just, so busy talking at God and never, yes, Lord, I'll be honored to do that for you. Of course, some of us even feel like Mephibosheth said that we got to be carried everywhere. It just don't feel right if somebody doesn't haul you to church. Where we ought to be hauling folks to church. But then when we change that concept and realize that we are the church, we can go to them and present to them the King of the universe, Jesus Himself. And you will always find a Ziba in your life. There'll always be someone there willing to serve. But there is going to come a time where you will have to become a Ziba. And become the servant of the Most High God. Of course, there comes another time where God begins to rip things out of you when somebody else wants to come and serve you and you can't accept that. Because, you see, you're so prone to doing it yourself. If somebody walks in with the mantle of God and anointing of God and you can't turn it loose. You'll never enjoy your ministry unless you lose it. I say, you'll never enjoy your ministry unless you lose it. And that goes very well along with that old song, you don't miss your water till the well runs dry. And all you can do is look down in the belly of that well and go, you should be water down there. I wonder where I'm going to get the water now. If you've ever been in a dry place, you'll find that very quickly something will begin to bubble up. Bubble up, bubble up. Think about that every time I use that word, Robert. Begin to spring up on the inside of you. And you begin to speak in that unknown language. And all of a sudden, the atmosphere begins to change around you. And you open your little eyes and find out that you're all alone. But yet, you're not alone. For He declared in your ears that He would never leave you and never forsake you. He has declared in our ear He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But only in Virginia. Secondly, we find in verse 4 the king's faithfulness. Verse 3 said, let me read that and bring you to verse 4.
And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan had yet a son which is lame in his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lo Debar. Machir means he that sees and knows. What a comfort it is for us at times in our walk and our endeavors with God to be in somebody's presence or house that not only sees God, but knows him. What a comfort it is to know that in your time of Lo Debar, what a comfort it is for me to know that I can call my brethren. When I say brethren, I mean women also. In a time where I may not be seeing or hearing God, and know that there will be a comforting word because they're seeing and knowing God and realizing that a name takes on that of a nature. Most folks have a terrible time with my last name. Bijaux. B-I-J-E-A-U-X. And it is defined as little jewel. And I begin to meditate, Robert, on what my last name really meant. For there was a great part of my life that I didn't like my last name because it was too complicated. Of course, when I went to Branson, they made me a star. They called me Ronnie B. I'm glad it was Johnny B. Good. Ronnie B. And I began to meditate on my last name and how that my name could tie to the nature that God gave me the name. And it has a nature to it. And he said that I'm a little jewel. That means I'm a little precious stone in the sight of a God who is holy. And God considers me, even though I am small. And like Robert said, my faith confession is I'm 25 years old and I weigh 145 pounds. And if you're looking at the outside of me, you're being deceived. The beauty of me is inside of me. Right, Robert? And when you consider the fact that you are his anointed. I told a lady one time, my last name is Ronnie Christ. She says, you sacrilegious thing. I said, I'm not. I'm anointed of God. I read the book. Isaiah 61 said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Luke 4 said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me. If he's anointed me, he anointed you. How's your donkey doing? You're an anointed donkey. I should have gotten that the other night. Anointed donkey. I'm thankful for that word now. I'm going to use it. One thing, preachers, you know, we give one another little tidbits. Here we see family relationships being developed when we understand the king's faithfulness. This may shock some of you. The greatest anointing is not the church, it's the family. Because without the family, we have no church. Our theology is kind of backwards. And the reason I told some of you, and I hope it didn't offend you, that you need to lose your ministry before you gain it. I forsook my wife and my children for many years for ministry. I spent 8 years going back into the world. I became a heathen all over again. And I became twice the child of the devil. And if I thought I had problems with demons before I went back into the world, honey, when I came back, I was multiplying. Some of you need to hear this. But it was the king's kindness and the king's faithfulness in the life of my wife that drew me out from under that oppression and the failures that I felt that I had failed God. And so my concept was get rid of everything. Left the ministry, left the wife and the children and the grandkids, mom and dad. I wouldn't have anything to do with anybody that was related to me. And never, if I discerned there was a Christian walking by, I would dodge him. And I was wallowing in self-pity and hurts. And see, I know a little bit about a place called Lodabar. And I thought that God would never shine on me again. I lost the anointing. Of course, you know, when you sin, sin dulls your conscience, you think you've lost everything. You absolutely didn't lose everything, you just missed the mark. And on top of the greater Baton Rouge, Louisiana Bridge, I saw myself going into a tailspin in my little pickup truck. 3 o'clock in the morning. And an 18-wheeler was coming my way. And those of you who drive big trucks, you know what I'm talking about. And he began to jackknife and doing whirlwinds on top of the bridge. And we were going to have a head-on collision. But in a moment's time, all that was, God brought me into the Spirit and showed me that I was in a whirlwind and I was in trouble. And out of the midst of that whirlwind, out of my innermost being, I began to shuhala mama katite baroba. I had not prayed in tongues in months. And when my eyes opened, there were no 18-wheelers. And my truck was not in a tailspin. And I heard the Father say to me, "Son, this time of righteous living is over. Come home." 2 days later, my wife appeared at my house. And we reconciled. And I went for counseling. And I said this to the Lord, "Robert, I don't want to go back until my life is clean. I don't deserve to serve you until you have cleansed me completely." And I heard him say, "Son, I have always loved you. And I always will. Come home." For some of you maybe that are suffering in areas of your life that you have allowed hardness to come against you, even to the point where you're living beneath your privileges, I want you to know in this message today, you can hear God and you can come home. You can be completely restored in a moment's time. And all you need is to hear the voice within this voice today and settle your differences and let God heal your heart, reveal His kindness and His faithfulness to you. That is His desires. As we're bringing this camp to a close, this is a totally different message. I can go in a totally different way. And I sense the Holy Spirit say this to me. I want you to love the people. Just minister love to the people. God loves you. And He will never, 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 never forsake you. You can put your confidence in a God that cannot lie. Not would not lie. He cannot lie. He is your God in Lodabar. He is your God when you're up to Mount Zion. He is your God when you're in the valley. He is your God when you're broke. He is your God when you're sad. He is your God when you're happy. He is God. And to conclude the message, God shows His loving hand. And the story will conclude that not only that Mephibosheth was allowed to come to eat at David's table, who is the king, but his servant Ziba would now prepare his own meals, and the table was open for Mephibosheth at all times. He had an everlasting covenant. And David said, in my own vernacular, "You can eat at my table any time you want to." So do not let condemnation, failures, misfortunes,
set you back and get rid of the mindset that I messed up too bad. For God, you can never mess up enough so God would not receive you. And so the beckon of the message today is God loves you and He wants you to come back home. Home is the places where you have left, developing your relationship with God. Return to the God of your salvation. Return to the passion that once drove you to do whatsoever the King beckoned you to do. And at the end of your endeavors, you will have fulfilled your destiny. And you will find that God is waiting for you. God bless you.
Thank you.
I want you to stand to your feet. I want all the preachers that's in this church, if you will come forward. All the ministers, would you come forward, please? Praise the Lord. As these gentlemen are coming, would you turn around and face the congregation? I want every head bowed and every eye closed. This is a very intimate time with God this morning. We don't want to know what it is. We don't care to know what it is because it's between you and God. But if you're here this morning and there are areas of your life when you have felt you have been in low the board, maybe to an extended period, you need to get out. You need to hear a fresh word from God. You need to be touched by God. You need to be welcomed home in the areas of your life that you know that you're not surrendering to God, walking with God, and getting changed. I want you to step out of your seats, come up here, and we want to lay hands on you, and we want to pray with you and believe God for you. It doesn't matter. Maybe your ministry needs a little sharpening. Maybe your words, your life, your relationship with your family needs a little help. Would you just step out of your seat and come up here this morning? We want to pray for you. God is waiting for you this morning. I know there's more than one. You just want to be touched or feel the presence of God again. Maybe it's been a long time since you felt God's presence. And above all that, if you're not saved, you don't know Jesus, we want to pray with you. That is the greatest miracle that could ever happen to you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Brothers, if you feel free at any time, just move and pray for these people. We're waiting for you. God's waiting for you. Come on up. Say, Jesus, I need you this morning. I need for you to touch me. I need to feel the impressions of your love in my heart again. Lord Jesus, help me. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe there's areas in your life that you need to surrender to God this morning. Maybe you're holding back on God. Maybe you're even mad at Him. He'll forgive you and He'll welcome you home. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Father, we love you and we praise your name. Oh, brethren, realize there's always room enough for another one. There's room at the cross for you. There's room in the presence of God for you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Just make your way up here this morning. Father, we praise you. Hallelujah. Labra sonirimiki. Mama la matata la boho taramaka. Lord, thank you, Jesus. You are a faithful God. We thank you for loving us, feeling us. Thank you, Lord God, for your hand of comfort. Glory to the Lamb. Lord, we thank you. Kila borora labakai. If you need healing for your body this morning, make your way up here. We don't want anybody to leave without their needs being met. Any healing? Praise the Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBC.com. www.bibleonline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.